All right, get ready, because we're about to explore something that might make you view the night sky a little differently. What if I told you all those satellites we're launching, the ones promising us faster internet and incredible Earth observations, could actually have a hidden cost?
Yeah, it's a reality and something we're just starting to grasp. You know, space may seem like this vast and boundless frontier, but the things we do up there can really have consequences down here.
So what's the issue? I mean, we've been sending satellites up for ages, right?
We have, but the number of them is absolutely skyrocketing. Think about it. Back in 2009, there were around 1,000 satellites orbiting Earth. Now, we're looking at over 10,000. And get this. Projections show it could reach a mind-blowing 100,000 by 2030.
Wow, that's a huge increase. But these satellites don't stay up there forever, do they?
You're right. Most are designed to burn up in the atmosphere when they're done with their mission. It's to avoid adding to the space junk problem. But here's the thing. Most satellites are made from aluminum alloys. And that aluminum doesn't just vanish when it burns up.
So where does it end up?
Well, it turns into these tiny particles of aluminum oxide that spread high in our atmosphere. And that's where things get a little concerning. Remember the ozone layer scare back in the 80s?
Yeah, the whole CFC situation and that hole over Antarctica, definitely scary stuff.
Well, it turns out that aluminum oxide can actually speed up those same ozone-depleting reactions we worked so hard to stop.
Wait, so we might be creating another ozone problem, but this time it's originating from space.
Basically, yes. Kind of ironic, isn't it? We're pushing forward with space exploration, but we could be harming the very thing that safeguards life on Earth.
Yeah, that's definitely something to think about. So what does the science say about how serious this is? I've heard it called aluminum rain. How bad is it, really?
Well, researchers have modeled a typical satellite reentry, let's say one weighing 250 kilograms. They discovered that something like 30 kilograms of aluminum oxide nanoparticles would be released into the atmosphere.
30 kilograms from just one satellite, and we're talking about adding tens of thousands more up there. That can't be good.
No, it's not. And it's not just theoretical anymore. Scientists have actually found aluminum and other metals from spacecraft in about 10% of the stratospheric aerosol particles they've analyzed. So it's already measurable.
That's a little unsettling to hear. And what's more concerning is that we're adding more aluminum to the upper atmosphere from these satellite reentries than from natural sources like meteoroids.
You're absolutely right. Just in 2022, satellite reentries put almost 30% more aluminum into the upper atmosphere than meteoroids. And with all these massive constellations of satellites being planned, some forecasts suggest reentry rates could increase tenfold.
A tenfold increase. That's incredible. Honestly, I hadn't really thought about the environmental impact of space exploration before. It's a bit of a wake-up call.
It definitely highlights how connected everything is. What we do in space has real, tangible effects back here on Earth, even something that seems as remote as satellite reentry.
You know, before we continue, I want to remind our listeners to follow meteorologist Rob Jones. He has more insights just like this.
Yes, definitely. Rob shares amazing content on his social media. You can find him on Instagram at meteorologist, on TikTok at TV meteorologist, and on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to Rob Jones Hurricane. That's also where you'll find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist.
Okay, let's get back to this aluminum rain. We've covered the problem, but what are the potential long-term consequences? What are scientists most worried about?
Well, the biggest concern is that we just don't fully understand how all this extra aluminum oxide will affect the ozone layer in the long run, let alone its effects on the overall chemistry of our atmosphere. I mean, we know it can contribute to ozone depletion, but there's so much we still don't know. It's almost like we're conducting this massive experiment with our planet's protective shield, and we aren't really sure what the outcome will be. And we're back with Meteorology Matters. Before the break, we were discussing this concerning issue of aluminum rain and how those leftover bits from satellites we send up could be damaging the ozone layer.
It's not exactly the kind of space legacy we want to be leaving behind, right? The big question is, what can we do about it? Is there any way to clean up this mess? Or even better, stop it from happening in the first place?
Well, awareness is a good first step, which is what we're doing right now. The good news is researchers and engineers are exploring some promising solutions.
Okay, I'm all ears. What are they thinking about?
Well, one approach is looking at the materials we use to build these satellites. So instead of relying so much on aluminum, we could maybe explore materials that either completely burn up during reentry, meaning no harmful byproducts, or materials that create byproducts that are much less reactive with ozone.
So it's like substituting ingredients in a recipe to get a different result.
Exactly. And we could even go beyond the materials themselves and redesign satellites so that less material survives reentry. Think lighter materials that vaporize more easily, or even designing them to break into smaller pieces when they come back down. That would increase their surface area and help them burn up more completely.
That's pretty clever. What about thinking even bigger? Could we change the way we deorbit satellites entirely?
That's another interesting possibility. Imagine this. Instead of letting them burn up randomly in the atmosphere, we develop tech to safely guide them back to Earth. They could land in remote locations, or we could even recover and recycle them.
Now that sounds a little like something out of science fiction. Controlled deorbiting, huh? I like it. But I imagine there must be some pretty big challenges to overcome with that kind of technology.
Yeah, you're right. The main hurdle is the cost. Developing and implementing this kind of system would be a pretty significant investment. But as we've been talking about, doing nothing has a cost too. Potentially a much bigger one down the road if we see real damage to the ozone layer and our environment.
It's a classic problem, right? Short-term costs versus long-term benefits. It seems like investing in protecting our planet should be obvious. But realistically, those decisions often come down to a complex mix of economics and political will.
Exactly. It's a multifaceted issue that requires collaboration between scientists, engineers, policymakers, and the whole space industry. We need to find solutions that make sense environmentally and economically. That's the sweet spot we need to aim for.
So it seems like we have the technological know-how to handle this, but it's more about making it a priority and getting everyone on the same page.
Precisely. We have to start including environmental considerations at every stage of space exploration and satellite development. From the initial design and the materials we choose, to the manufacturing process, launch procedures, and how we manage those end-of-life disposal scenarios.
It really makes you realize that sustainable space exploration isn't just some idealistic concept. It's an essential part of the equation. But this isn't a problem for any one country to solve, is it?
No, not at all. This is a global challenge, and it needs international cooperation. We need global standards for sustainable space practices. The health of our planet and the future of space exploration itself depends on nations and organizations working together to figure this out.
It's a good reminder that environmental stewardship doesn't end where our atmosphere does. We have a responsibility to think big picture, even when it comes to something that seems as far away as space.
Couldn't agree more. Space is a resource we all share, and we have to manage it wisely and responsibly. The choices we make today will have lasting consequences, and future generations will be the ones who inherit them.
It's actually encouraging that we're having these conversations now. It shows that we're at least starting to consider the bigger picture and grapple with the consequences of our actions.
Absolutely. It's a positive sign. You know, we've come a long way from those early days of space exploration where the focus was entirely on the incredible technology.
So we've talked about some possible solutions and the need for change, but let's be realistic, we're still in the early stages of understanding the full scope of this aluminum rain situation.
That's true. It's an area of research that's evolving quickly. We're learning new things all the time about how what we do in space impacts the atmosphere.
So, where do we go from here? What are the big questions that still need answers?
Well, we need more research to really get a handle on exactly how much aluminum oxide is being deposited in the atmosphere from different types of satellites and all those different re-entry scenarios. And we need a much clearer understanding of the long-term effects of this aluminum oxide, not just on ozone depletion, but on the broader atmospheric chemistry. We even need to look at its potential role in climate change.
So it sounds like there's still a lot of unknowns.
Right. But that's the nature of science. It's all about asking questions, collecting data, and refining what we understand about how the world around us works.
And with any luck, that deeper understanding will guide us towards solutions that allow us to continue exploring space,
Yeah.
you know, keep pushing the boundaries of what we know, but to do it in a way that doesn't put our own planet at risk.
That's the ultimate goal, finding that balance between our desire to explore and our responsibility to protect our home planet.
This leads us to a really important question, one that we'll explore in the final part of our show. What does the future hold for sustainable space exploration? What can we do to make sure our adventures beyond Earth don't come at the expense of our own planet's well-being?
Stay tuned for part three of Meteorology Matters, where we'll delve into those questions and chart a course towards a more sustainable future for space exploration.
And we're back for the final part of Meteorology Matters. So far, we've really dug into this whole issue of aluminum rain, that unexpected consequence of all these satellites returning to Earth. We've talked about possible solutions, you know, like new materials and even innovative ways to bring those satellites back down. but it still feels like we're playing catch-up with a problem that's growing incredibly fast.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. The speed at which space technology is moving, especially with so many new companies joining the commercial space sector, it often feels like it outpaces our ability to assess and minimize the potential damage to the environment. It's like we're rushing headlong into the future of space exploration, but we're still cleaning up the mess we made in the past.
Kind of a paradox, isn't it? We use cutting-edge tech to explore space, but we could be creating problems that might eventually prevent us from exploring further.
It definitely is a balancing act. But I think this growing awareness of the environmental impact of space exploration is a good sign that we're moving in the right direction. We're asking the tough questions and recognizing that sustainable space exploration isn't just some nice ideal, it's absolutely essential.
So let's get down to it. What does a truly sustainable future for space exploration actually look like? How can we make sure our ambitions beyond Earth don't end up harming our own planet?
I think we need a fundamental change in how we think about space. We can't treat space like some giant trash can where our actions have no consequences. We need a more comprehensive approach, one that recognizes that Earth and space are deeply connected. Protecting one means protecting the other.
Earth and space as one interconnected system. I like how you put that. How do we take that idea and turn it into concrete action?
Well, international cooperation is key. Space exploration shouldn't be about countries competing with each other, but working together to understand and protect our shared cosmic environment. We need to make existing agreements stronger, like those from the Interagency Space Debris Coordination Committee and those UN long-term sustainability guidelines. We also need to work toward international treaties that are more binding and hold everyone accountable.
It almost sounds like we need a global space environmental protection agency, something similar to what we have for the oceans and atmosphere here on Earth.
It's an interesting idea, and it's one that's gaining some traction. That kind of agency could keep track of the environmental impacts of space activities. They could develop and enforce regulations and help countries and private companies work together better.
And speaking of private companies, they're playing a bigger and bigger role in space exploration these days. How do we ensure they make sustainability a priority?
You know, public pressure and consumer choices can have a huge impact. We can choose to support companies that have a real commitment to sustainability. Companies that use environmentally friendly materials, invest in ways to reduce debris, and support responsible space policies.
It's a reminder that we all have a voice in this. We can use our money and our voices to push for a more sustainable future for space exploration. Now, we've talked a lot about policies and global cooperation, but what about the role of technology itself? Can innovation actually help us fix some of these problems we've caused?
Absolutely. Technology can be both the cause of problems and the key to solving them. We can channel our innovation into developing new materials that don't damage the ozone layer, propulsion systems that minimize pollution, and smarter ways to deorbit satellites that cut down on space debris.
It's amazing to think that the solutions to this aluminum rain problem could come from some really unexpected places. Maybe we'll see breakthroughs in material science or propulsion that not only make space exploration more sustainable, but also open up completely new ways of exploring.
That's the great thing about science. It often takes us on unexpected journeys and reveals entirely new frontiers of knowledge.
This brings us to a final and I think quite profound question. We've been really focused on aluminum rain as a consequence of our actions in space. But what other unintended consequences might we be missing? As we go further out into the cosmos, what are our responsibilities to protect the environment, not just here on Earth, but possibly on other planets and moons as well?
That's a question that deserves a lot of thought, especially as we go further and further into space. Just like we work hard to protect those pristine environments in Antarctica or in the deepest parts of the ocean here on Earth, we should explore other planets and moons with that same level of respect and responsibility. We should aim to minimize our impact and preserve these unique places for future generations. It should be a guiding principle for us.
It's humbling to think that we're not just explorers of the cosmos, but we also have a responsibility to care for it. As we push the boundaries of what humans can do and reach for the stars, we can't forget that real progress means making sure those stars continue to shine for generations to come.
That's a beautiful way to put it, and a great place to wrap up our discussion. Thanks for joining us on Meteorology Matters for this exploration of aluminum rain and the future of sustainable space exploration.
And a huge thanks to all of our listeners out there. Keep those questions coming. Keep looking up at that night sky and keep wondering about this amazing and intricate universe that we're all a part of. We'll see you next time on Meteorology Matters.